Welcome. My name is Katarzyna Monika Pawlak. I'm the social media trainee editor of UEG Journal, and you're listening to UEG Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal in order to learn from the most up-to-date evidence and discuss with the authors the relevant findings of their research. Today is May 14th, and this is the third episode of the UEG Journal podcast. We have here Enrique de Madaria, who is a professor, researcher, and the president of the Spanish Association of Gastroenterology, and we will be discussing his recent paper from Yang Ji Engel about the steps for a successful clinical research career. Welcome. Please introduce yourself, tell us where you work, and how you became infected by research.
Hello. First of all, thanks for this opportunity with this UEG Journal podcast. I'm very excited. Well, I'm Enrique de Madaria. I work in Alicante in Spain. This is a quite a small city of 300,000 inhabitants in the Mediterranean coast, probably the best place in the world. And my hospital is a third level hospital with more or less 800 beds. And I started to do research when I was a resident, because I have a mentor, Miguel Pérez Mateo. This great person was one of the first serious clinical researchers in our region of Alicante. He was very enthusiastic. He was very excited with research. Even he was addicted to research, and he was one of some people, a generation of the doctors who were interested in doing research in pancreas in Spain during the 80s and 90s. And I learned to be excited with research from him.
And how would you describe generally the journey in research, and what is the final aim of this journey?
Okay, you have to have a main aim, a house light, something that guides you in the research career, that is, that you have to improve the patient care. The patients must benefit somehow from your research. It can be a direct benefit through clinical research or an indirect one in basic science. But if you are not focused on that, research will only be a tool to increase your visibility, to get position and power, and that's not good. Always think in the patients. And then you have secondary aims that are very exciting: to learn, to improve your skills, to know different people, different places, and of course, to enjoy the journey that is a scientific career.
And what are the subsequent levels during the journey in research?
Okay, in the OEG paper that I wrote together with Karina Cárdenas, my colleague from this hospital, for the young gastrointestinal angle, we divided quite arbitrarily the clinical research career in five steps: beginner, competent, expert, champion, and legend.
Okay, so we are very enthusiastic and we have a great appetite for research. However, we don't know how to do it. So please tell us how to start and what are the main tools the beginner should look for?
Okay, there are two types of beginners, I think. The first type is the beginner that is not in a department that usually makes research. So there are no strong mentors, and the beginner must learn by him or herself. And then you have beginners that are in a consolidating a strong group that is always easier. But if you are in a department that is not used to clinical research, don't worry. What you have to do to begin is you need the basic tools for clinical research and to be able to communicate your findings. The first step is to take a basic statistics course and to start learning English if English is not your native language. In addition, it's good to have a good clinical practice course that will teach you ethics in research, which is an important part of research, very, very important, and also helps you to understand how the institutional review boards work. Remember, as I said before, the patient is the final aim, not an instrument for your success. You have to look for a good mentor. Sometimes you will have your mentor in the department, but sometimes you can get a mentor from other centers, even from abroad. Now we have tools to be in contact with people that are in other countries. And if you are enthusiastic and you look well, you may have a mentor even in other places. He or she will help you to develop your skills and guide you in your first study. It's difficult from the beginning to know what to do research, how a mentor will be very important for you to know where to go.
So what type of research would be the best to start?
In your research activity, I recommend in this phase retrospective studies based on your patients in your center is the simple way to start conducting research. This is not very ambitious, but you have to learn step by step the basic concepts in research. And these kind of studies are useful for generating hypotheses, but again, will help you to know how to do research.
Thank you so much. That's great to know. So many different tools exist for the beginners. However, now I would like to ask you what skills the beginner should develop.
Okay, the beginner is somehow a field agent who should be good at obtaining data, managing databases. You have to learn to create databases with Access, Excel. We use, for example, REDCap, that is an electronic case report form that is very, very useful to do research. You have to start playing with the statistical software, Stata, SPSS, SASR, whatever. I would choose one or two of them and learn how to use it because this is important. This is the basic tool for research, the statistical software. And clinical research is not only obtaining and analyzing data, also communicating your findings. You have to start working on your communication skills by learning how to do a poster and oral presentation. It's good also, something that you are expert, Kasia, to start using social medias to share articles, cases, professional experience. Start knowing how to use social networks to communicate and to learn also from others. And Twitter, for example, is a very good platform for this. In fact, this article, this paper was based on a tweet and the discussion it subsequently generated. Your aim points in this beginner stage should be to generate your first posters and oral communications and national meetings and your first retrospective paper as a collaborator.
Okay, we already found tools and we are still fascinated by research and we would like to go further. So how to achieve the competent level, what to learn and what to look for during this process?
Okay, when you are now you were a beginner, now you are competent. You have to train your leadership because nowadays, if you are alone, you can't do any good clinical research. You have to be a leader and to have collaborators and to do wonderful things. Okay, you have to learn to talk fluently about technical aspects in English, if this is not native languages. It is also time for advanced statistic course. This is a basic tool for research. So let's get another step in knowing how statistics work. You have to start looking for interesting clinical questions that you feel interest for these questions. You must to start putting together a team with a statistical advisor as the first step, as your statistical skills are not perfect. So look for a statistical advisor. This is very, very important to start doing nice things. I recommend in this stage to start creating a group of national collaborators just your friends, your colleagues with shared interests that are perfect for this, for simple collaborative studies and surveys. For example, my first, let's say, multi-center clinical research study was just two centers, one from Alicante and one from the United States, that we made a very simple retrospective study and was published in a very good journal because the question was interesting and it was a two-center study. Again, these studies that are not randomized controlled trials, these studies that are observational will be useful only for generating hypotheses, but if they are robust, you can make very, very interesting approaches and hypotheses for further research. Meta-analyses also are interesting at this stage.
Okay, thank you. So according to competent level, I would like to ask you about here about the most important skills to achieve this level, to achieve a Rising Star Award of UEG like you achieved some years ago. So how did you do it?
Thank you. Okay, well, it's very important to advance in your communication skills. In the beginner, we were trying just to give information about what your research is, but now you have to start engaging the audience. Your aim is not only to share your research, you want the audience to like your work. During this phase, you must start also to develop your leadership skills. Start to collaborate with your national scientific association, make national contacts, learn what studies are feasible. This is very important in research because sometimes we try to do studies that are not feasible and you are going to lose your time and the time of others. Look for feasible studies, collaborate, start collaborating in randomized controlled trials from other groups to learn how RCTs work. Keep using your social media. If you post good scientific stuff, you will gain interesting followers, some of whom may be your future collaboration. And I can say that I have used Twitter to get collaborators from studies like Tiburon, like Reckin. And in fact, Cassia, you were a collaborator in some on these studies that you knew by Twitter, for example. And the endpoints of this competent level is to publish your first observational studies as first author. The two main markers of a good researcher are publication and grants. So try to get your first grants, mainly for the National Scientific Association. For example, in the Spanish Association of Gastroenterology, we are issuing grants for young people, for young researchers are a good opportunity for this purpose. Make your first communication and international meetings and increase your proportion of oral communication in national meetings. That would be the steps in this competent level.
According to this, I would like to add that I know you finished masterclass statisticers, what is very impressive. However, sometimes it's just not reachable for the most of us. But thanks to UEG, there are masterclass courses, and actually you are the co-author of the upcoming one in November. So this is a great opportunity for the young researchers to join and learn. Okay, coming back to our topic, we already achieved the competent level, and now is the time for the next step. So please tell us how to become an expert in research and what are the main end points.
Okay, the previous levels, the aim were to learn, to start knowing how to do research, to learn how to communicate. But now, an expert in research, you are starting to make robust science. You are starting to approach to our main aim, that is to improve patient care. You have to train yourself to speak fluently in English about any topic, not only medicine. You have to learn advanced methodology in research. You don't have to make, like I did, a four-year master course on statistics. You can learn step by step, as you said, with courses, with learning a bit every time. You have to look for important clinical questions to answer, not just interesting questions, important things that are going to benefit the patient directly. You have to start putting together your own team, look for mentees, help your mentees to advance from beginner to competent. Now you need an expert in statistics, not an advisor. You need a very good guy that is an expert in statistics, because you are going to make more ambitious projects. You have to start, or you should start, your own multi-center prospective studies, and this will help you to become a strong leader. Design your first single center randomized controlled trials. For example, in my case, we develop a randomized controlled trials comparing lactated ringer versus normal saline that was published in the UEG journal. That is one of my preferred journals, I have to say. And you have to lead the design and development of national guidelines addressing your main field of expertise. In my case, we lead the chronic pancreatitis guidelines in Spain. You have to progress in your communication skills. Try to fascinate the audience, just not to be interested in your project. They have to open their mouth, because you are telling things that are very exciting. You are translating your research or your education into something wonderful. This is something that you have to develop to increase your communication skills, make international contacts to be part of more ambitious projects, start to collaborate with international associations, for example, like the UEG, share your success with your team and increase their visibility. Use social media to share your work, to gain collaborators, and for educational purpose. And your aim points in this expert phase, if to publish your first papers as senior last corresponding author, because this will give visibility to the other members of your team as first authors. And this is important, because you have to share your success too, because the karma exists, and if you are helping others, everything will be perfect and you will progress. And being the last senior author is good for future grants and awards, like the UEG Rising Star Award. To get important grants, it's good to be the senior author, because you are showing that you are leading the group. Obtain your first large national public grants. Work hard for the national scientific associations and apply for positions there. This stage is to have some position in national association, and then start your first randomized control trial at your center.
So looking at your experience and following your career, we can say that we have a champion and legend here. So please tell us, what are the differences between champion and legend?
Well, this just is the very advanced phases of research. I think that the champion, for example, is somebody with a very strong leadership, and this is the phase that is the most exciting. Well, all phases are exciting, but in this one, you start to change clinical practice, because you can design and perform pivotal multicenter randomized controlled trials, aiming for that to change clinical practice. You can then lead international guidelines addressing your area of expertise. You have now a very strong team with mentees, with people that are learning for you, that will make the PhD with you, that will start to gain visibility thanks to you. Then this phase, you have to start giving visibility to your team. You are the leader of the team, but the talks, the first position in the papers, you have to start taking a step back to help other people to become like you in the future. That's very important. And in this phase, you have to start thinking in a very difficult step, that is to get multinational grants like Horizon Europe grants that are very difficult to get, and you need to be very strong. And legend, well, legend is, you know, in every in every field of knowledge, there are legends. For example, in pancreas, we have Marcus Lerck, people that make incredible studies that have a long career and they have changed everything and they are legends. And well, then
and also female roles like Julia Merle, right?
Yeah, Julia Merle, or the new president, the next president for the UEG, who is Elena Pinto. They are legends in their fields, and in this stage, your team has become experts and champions, and you are now in another league in more public health initiatives. For example, in my field, cancer, pancreatic cancer, to try to increase visibility of pancreatic cancer through the European Union, things that will affect a lot of people, normal population. I think that a legend must use his or her skills to change things on a more wide, more ambitious objectives to improve in this particular field of expertise. And well, Cassia, these kind of steps are arbitrary, are mixed, and it depends on your philosophy of living. This paper is not intending to say that every one of us must be a legend and must progress in research. No, what we try to show is that there are different stages. For every stage, you have to develop some skills, some milestones. But what I want to say is that everybody must be in the place that you feel comfortable according to your life objectives, life aims. If you want to make research, but you don't want to spend a lot of time working in research, you want to spend more time with your family, with more time with your friends, to develop some hobbies, you can be in the place that you want. This is not this is not instructions to be a legend. No, it's just that there are different steps of research, and you must choose what step makes you happy.
That's truly inspiring. And thank you so much for all your advices, Enrique. It has been a pleasure to learn from you and go together through your recent paper published in UEG Journal entitled What Are the Steps for a Successful Clinical Research Career? The Voyage to Ithaca. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
We hope that you enjoyed this interview, and please subscribe for further updates. Thank you, and see you again.